Welcome to Mariana Hinojosa Centella, and she is with the Floral Conservatory, and also Ron Sharp. And Ron, I believe that you are the president of the...
I am.
Of the Floral Conservatory. Yes. And I'm not sure about you, Mariana.
I'm the vice president.
And you are the vice president. All right. Good to have you both here. And also, just a plug for the Canadian Club and having had Ralph Goodale come and speak. And what a wonderful speaker he was, but that's where I've just seen you. So, you know, right. It's always those few people who are the movers and the shakers in a community and show up for all sorts of things. So speaking of showing up for all sorts of things, you are talking to us today about the Floral Conservatory, and maybe just describe the Floral Conservatory, where it is now, and what it offers right now, because it's such a marvelous space. It's like a little oasis in Regina.
The Regina Floral Conservatory has been in that location since the mid-90s when volunteers took it over in the 1990s from the City of Regina. It used to be a production greenhouse for the city, and they were going to close it down, and volunteers said, no way, we're going to keep this going. So since that time, volunteers have been operating it completely on a voluntary basis. We have no paid positions at all. And we are currently now at close to 600 members. In December, when the city was talking about cutting things back, we had 200 members, while we, since that time, have gained over 300 members. So people love this place, mm-hmm. as you alluded to. The floral display in there gets changed out every 6 weeks, and it's just such a beautiful atmosphere. And Mariana, who is from Mexico originally, was introduced couple of years ago, and she loves the place. I'll let you talk about that.
No, for me, the Floral Conservatory is probably a gem for the city. It's the best hidden gem for the city. And
yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so it has been just a lovely place where I feel that, you know, the community and the plants come together to celebrate this diverse community. And yes, like Ron said, it's just a lovely place to be, because it just, I remember vividly the first time I ever went there, I felt at home. I remember I wrote about that experience, how lovely it felt. I felt that I had, stepped on heaven on earth. It's just a beautiful place, overwhelming in beauty. And it's just a place that brings that connection. No? First of all, with plants, which I think is something really important, to be connected to nature and to one another, because in this space you can find plants from all over the planet, from all the continents represent mm-hmm. there. For instance, I really like to see the hibiscus plant, because in Mexico, where I'm from, in Monterrey, up in the north, we just drink it as a lemonade. So we just, you know, boil the flower, and then we just put like fresh water and sugar, and it's such refreshing. We call it Jamaica water. And oh. During Christmas, I wasn't able to go back home. However, I was thrilled to see the plant Nochebuena, which here you call it poinsettia. Uh-huh. And actually, I had debates on why is it called poinsettia. It's actually Nochebuena. And it turns out that this plant is actually endemic of Mexico. But the explorer that brought it to North America, his last name was poinsettia. So, yeah. So both are correct. But yeah, it's actually a plant from Mexico. So I felt so thrilled to find that connection while being miles and miles away from my family. And just, you know, I had that piece of my home during Christmas here. And it just brings so much joy to everybody that is around. It's a beautiful place. It's so easy to advocate for something that you love and that you're passionate. And for me, I felt that the Floral Conservatory, for plenty of reasons, is fantastic. First of all, it's a beautiful space. But second of all, the community there is fantastic. You know, I felt for the very first time as a newcomer embraced accepted and cared by everyone, including Ron himself, the first person I ever met from the Floral Conservatory, which was so enthusiastic. So the first day I was there, he took me for half an hour, showed me every single corner, everything.
She got the behind-the-scenes tour.
Yeah.
Not that the public doesn't see.
Yes. So that speaks of the heart of the people that are involved in there. Like, it's just beautiful. The community is fantastic. And we are all volunteers, and we are so passionate, and we show up there, and we try to make this project continue growing, no? So that's where we at right now.
Yeah.
First of all, it's still, and I guess still the day that we part from Earth, we're all going to be so thankful for the community for coming together and helping us out in the last couple of months. It was fantastic to see how much support we had from the members, from the visitors, from the counselors, for the mayor himself. You know, everybody just came together to help us out, which was fantastic. We were not expecting that amount of support, but we felt so pampered and cared. Yeah.
Well, and again, you know, when you're talking about the last couple of months, we're also talking about, you know, the city is having to make some difficult decisions as to where money can be spent or has been spent, and where they can make some cuts or where they can, you know, enhance. And I think that, you know, they've looked at it very seriously with many organizations, with many things that they were looking at, and the Floral Conservatory was one. And but as you said, it's been around for a number of years, and it's the place that people rent, you know, if they have a special occasion. Right. I'm not sure how many it holds.
We only can accommodate 60, and that's due to fire regulations, yes.
Okay, right. But again, you know, it's just such a lovely space. And if you are, you know, having the winter blahs for a while, just go there and, you know, just walk through.
I would like to speak to that. One of our mottos is wellness, and being in a green space has been proven by medical community that you spend time there and you de-stress. And in parts of England, Ontario, and I think even now in Saskatchewan, doctors could prescribe time in a green space, because when you're in there, you just feel so much better.
Well, so, yeah. You do. And you know, it's the smell. It's, you know, it's the, just the air is different.
Yes.
Because of those plants. Yeah. And of course, tell me really briefly, Ron, you know, when you talk about plants, they breathe in what?
They breathe in oxygen.
And they breathe out?
And they breathe out nitrogen.
So, nitrogen.
And it reverses at nighttime to daytime, right?
So, right.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you know, when you have plants, they're very healthful, as you're saying, you know,
yeah.
And psychologically as well. Apparently.
It is, right.
Right.
And one thing that the public does not know about our conservator is we have a huge educational program. We have a program called Little Gardeners for ages 1 to 5, where either a parent or a grandparent or a caregiver can come in and bring them in. And it's a program where they get to play with the soil and toys and be within the greenhouse. They get to know a little about plants and how they're growing and that sort of thing. As well, there's a school-age children from primary school right up to high school that come in for tours. We start booking in September, and they book up right away. The teachers right now are fully booked until May. They're on a wait list, 30 classes representing about 900 students, so that's why we need a new facility, and I know we're going to be talking about that today.
We are. That's, yeah. You know, that's where that's actually where we're going, because, you know, we know that a new facility is needed. Any of us who have been out there, and it's not so much the, I'm going to call it the greenhouse area itself, but it's the adjacent.
Exactly.
Adjacent building. And but I mean, you do the very best with, you know, what you have, but that can only last so long.
Well, the city would really, I think, like to be done with that build, because it is old and it does cost them a lot, and we give them credit for keeping it going. But the heating bills are quite expensive in the wintertime. So a new facility, you know, we could look at geothermal and solar and all those sorts of things. So.
Right. Well, maybe you should tell us about that. Maybe we should just jump there,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, just jump in there. So the land has been part of the Wascana Master Plan for their 25-year master plan. In December, we at the RGA Regina Garden Associates, which operate the conservatory, signed a letter of intent with Saskatchewan Builds. SASC Builds are the people, the government agency that looks after all the provincial buildings within Saskatchewan. So that letter of intent will lead us into a 99-year lease for the land in Wascana Park. And the parcel of land that we're looking at is just to the north and to the east of Wascana Rehab. So we would be on Lakeshore Drive, facing the lake, and it would be an ideal position to be in. Right now, our conservatory closes in July and August due to heat. We just cannot control the heat in there. If we were to build in Wascana Park, when we build in Wascana Park, mm-hmm. I should say, yes. It would be a 12-month open every month of the year. And that would be just open us up to so many more possibilities. We'd have a bigger venue for weddings, a bigger venue for educational classes, and all those sorts of things that go along with it.
So. Well, one of the things that I'm thinking of in July and August that is a good time for people to visit, and, you know, that's a big tourist
We season. Have 23,000 visitors per year right now in our existing location. If we could be open those extra couple of months during the busy tourist time, it would be a great, I think, economic boon for the city.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, when you talk about it being an economic boon for the city, tell me about what you're thinking of in terms of spin-offs. You know, people visiting, say, the conservatory. What are some of the spin-offs that might come from that would benefit, we'll say, the business owners, we'll say, the service people here in Regina?
I think one thing that would help out is that people love flowers. When I was in Winnipeg recently, I went to see the Leaf in Winnipeg. When some of our people have gone to Vancouver, they go to the botanical centers there. It is a draw for people to come in and just spend the time and relax in it. So their spinoffs would be maybe for teaching people, that we have retired teachers that would help out with the educational programming, that sort of thing. I don't know if you could speak to anything on that, Marianne.
Yeah, I believe that right now, as Ron mentioned, we are really constrained for this space, but that will be a hub for learning, for culture. We are really thinking that it could be a place where we can celebrate the diversity of this community, promote more indigenous inclusion. So maybe perhaps when is the events, they can held it there. Or myself, that are Latina, I can just imagine having the Day of the Dead there, and, you know,
right.
Celebrate with cempasúchil flowers. So I think it gives a lot of room for a lot of different activities, cultural activities. And definitely, as you mentioned, like it's a miss that we don't have a space like that on the peak of summer, because a lot of people, even like I had family members come and visit during the peak of the summer, and, you know, it would be fantastic to be able to take it. And myself, I also went to a Leaf recently at the beginning of the year, and I tell you, they have a restaurant there that it could something we could potentially aim in the future. There's concerts happening there, so it's something that we can build that to ourselves. And I think as Regina being the capital of this province is something that, like, I feel will be very beneficial to attract tourism, that I believe it's a really important aspect to promote and ensure the continuity of the growing of this fantastic city. So I definitely think that a lot of people could, you know, host their weddings there, or even have their annual, like, getaway to parties with mm-hmm. their businesses there, or any kind of events. But I will say more for the community and for the culture to be spread there, and just as a place where you can just relax and read a book and just enjoy the nice atmosphere. And it's just, it has a potential of being such a hub. It has a potential to probably be the best item of tourism that we will have in this city, I believe, because just imagining having somebody like that at the Wascana, with all the beautiful and privileged looks that the Wascana has to offer, plus a botanical garden, I would just...
I think we could be the jewel of Regina,
yes.
Being in Wascana Park. I
mm-hmm.
really think,
yes,
so.
Definitely. I think right now we're one of the three places that when you fly with WestJet, they mention is kind of like the places to be. So if we were, and when we get to build new place, it will definitely, as Ron said, it will be the jewel of the city. You know, I think people will come from other parts of the province or other province to just get to see something as beautiful and unique. And we have the opportunity to have that uniqueness in what is already the biggest part in North America, that is the Huascana. So it will be fantastic. And I just,
with regard to the weddings, you had mentioned, you know, we're limited to 60 people in a new facility. We're going to make that a lot bigger. And right now, people that do have weddings, they have to take their catering off-site because we can't do the catering there. So I think, you know, it could help financially wise if those people were to stay there and have everything all in one package in one location. As well, being close to the legislative buildings, we're hoping that maybe some government agencies might have team building meetings in the new facility. So we'd have a multi-purpose room that would serve that need.
Right. You know, you're looking ahead and you're having a dream, and you referred to it as being the jewel of Huascana. Well, I believe in the history of Regina, they were to be thought of as the Paris of the prairies. So, you know, that just ties right in with this all. But, you know, I think the potential that you're saying in terms of culture, in terms of businesses, in terms of just having a great place for community members to enjoy and to take part in. And speaking of community members, do you need volunteers? And let's talk about being a member. How does one become a member? How much does it cost?
Good. Membership is only $25 a year, which is very, you can go to Starbucks and spend that pretty quickly, I think. And that gives you access to a newsletter. It comes out 3 to 4 times a year. It gives you access to advance notification of events. It gives you a 10% discount on rentals. And one misconception that we had to clear up recently was that some people thought that becoming a member, you had to volunteer. You definitely do not. So you can take out that $25 membership, and that will support us. The numbers are needed. Like we, as I said, in December, we increased our membership a lot, but we do still need members. And as I said, if they don't want to volunteer, that's fine. We will find lots of spots for them to volunteer. The educational people are always looking for teachers or people that are ex-teachers or like to work with children to help out in that area. Mm-hmm. I myself was looking at people to help out with maintenance. I started off with an IT background, and the first yoga class that I went to there, they were having some IT problems, and the lady behind the counter said, "Why don't you volunteer?" So that's how I got started.
Right. It's that tap on the shoulder very often.
Exactly. Yes. So, no, there's lots of volunteer opportunities there for sure. And every morning we have a team of ladies and a few gentlemen come in to do the watering and deadheading of the flowers. So, yeah, we'll put them to work if they want to volunteer.
Right. And such a beautiful place to volunteer.
For sure. And in the dead of winter, what better place, right? Like when we had the minus 30 weather here a few weeks ago. it's an oasis, right?
Right.
Oh, yes, definitely an oasis when you're minus 50 and then inside you can be in a dress. It's just the most fantastic feeling ever, and it just really lights your day. I think everyone that goes there will leave with a happy face of how beautiful it feels, and especially here when winters are so long, having a space that could host not only a few, but, you know, a large part of the community every day. That will be something fantastic and needed. No.
With regard to the new facility, I should also mention that we are close to going into a capital fundraising program. We signed on recently with the Saskatchewan Community Foundation, and they look after a lot of nonprofits. And if they are going into a capital fundraising program, they take in all the funds, they do all the tax receipting and that sort of thing. So it's going to be a great partnership. So I want to put in a plug for them too, because they're going to be key to this next phase that we're going into.
Okay, I have to take a quick break here. It's Jeannie Alexander with Toast and Coffee on CJTR 91.3 FM, Access Now Community Radio. Tuned in to your community. And Ron, I was going to ask you something. I was thinking about sponsorship. I was thinking about maybe sponsorship, but also if you're philanthropic, and you have a few $100, a few $1,000, you know, whatever it is that you would like to donate to the cause of, you know, building this facility. I'm sure you'll accept that.
We certainly would. And if they want to reach out to us, and we have a website, and I'll give you the email address for your viewers. It is info@ReginaFloralConservatory.ca. So if somebody wants to email them or phone us at our phone number, 306-781-4769, and leave a message, we'll definitely get back to you and talk to you.
Repeat that, please, because what happens is people hear that. They don't have their phone close to them, or they don't have a pen and pencil. You know, if they're a little bit old school like I am.
Yeah.
So go
the
ahead.
Email is info@ReginaFloralConservatory.ca. And our website is very similar, www.ReginaFloralConservatory.ca.
All right.
We definitely would like to get in touch with them and make that a possibility, or a corporate sponsor too, right? We're looking for corporate sponsors as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if anyone's interested, thinking that this is something that they would like to support, or as you say, a sponsorship, and then you would, of course, discuss with them what that means, you know, according to, I'm sure, how much they're going to donate.
Exactly.
You know, and the more the better.
Yes, for sure.
Right.
Yes.
Now, Ron, how long have you been with the conservatory?
I've been there just 3 years. And as I said, I started doing maintenance and IT work and quickly got onto the board and doing all that other sort of thing. And it's been great. We have a board of 12 coordinators, we call them. We have events, membership, reception, floral display. Help me out here, Marianne. I don't want to miss
it. Education.
Education, yes. So, those people are all on our board of directors. None of them paid, as I mentioned before, completely volunteer. And people are invited to even come sit in on a board meeting to see what it's all about. I don't know why people are scared about board meetings. They're okay.
They don't want to be elected.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's fun, the behind-the-scenes things.
It is quite fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we just have a fantastic team. And sometimes lately Ron has been putting like funny videos before we start. So, you know, just to start off with like another kind of ambiance, no? So, and I think that is kind of part of why we also like to be there, because it's just such a beautiful community of people that we just act as an incredible team. And that's something special and not granted. It's something that we're really thankful that everybody that is involved will go there and support in each and every capability of their of themselves. So that's something really special and unique.
One other thing that we can do in a new facility is expand our events. So we've had charcuterie evenings for the last year now at the conservatory. We had a Ukrainian theme, and we also had an Italian theme. Mm-hmm. And those sold out within minutes on Eventbrite. We had 60 people per sitting. And in a new facility, of course, we'd accommodate more people. But you also touched, or Mariana touched on, Indigenous. We would love to have a healing garden outside or wherever with an elder, you know, that could give us guidance on how to put that all together and involve that part of the community, which we don't, you know, presently have at our current facility.
Get somebody from Fort Qu'Appelle, because they have one.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And we're right now in talks with different Indigenous groups here, because it's something really dear to our heart to continue promoting that, you know, reconciliation and inclusion in these spaces. So it's something that really we would like to continue promoting, because it's an important topic. They are important. So as much as we can promote also Indigenous inclusion, is something that we would like to be able to as well.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, when do you meet? If someone, you know, someone listening today might think, you know, that's a great place. Maybe I wouldn't mind spending some time on the board.
Sure.
You know, would you describe yourself as a working board?
Yes, we are. And one of the things we want to do is go to more of a different governance, you know, model.
Board.
But for
right.
the time being, in our existing facility, we're okay with it being just a working board.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when do you meet?
We meet once a month, usually on Monday, third Monday of the month. And it varies a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, get a hold of us and we can set you up to come and have a look. And if you just want to, you've never been to the conservatory, and a lot of Regina residents still have not found us yet, stop in and I'll give you the whole tour. And anytime during the week, I'm retired. So, of course, when our display people there in the morning doing the watering and that sort of thing, you can see all that. I'll take you downstairs and show you the cold room where we put 2,000 bulbs last November and had them in storage until March. They brought them up. So a year ago, I think we had 4,000 bulbs. So they cut it back to 2,000.
Mm-hmm. So, and you're very passionate about the facility. Not only as it exists now, but what's possible.
Yes, you know? We dream big.
Right,
yes.
You know, but it's just wonderful. Even just walking through is marvelous. You know, never mind being able to sit there or to. I've been to seminars there as well, and I've been to public events and that type of thing. And it's a lovely space. It's just incredible. That's all that I can say for it. And especially in the winter time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, especially in the winter, you feel like you're in like a vacation. No? You don't need to exit Regina. Just go there and you'll enjoy a little bit of a summer.
Okay, well, I want to thank both of you for having been with us today. I appreciate it. Please come back another time, especially if you have an event that you want to tell us about.
Sure.
Or if, you know, you just want to talk to us again about your organization, because that's what Toast and Coffee is all about.
Thank you for having us in here today. It's great.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We feel so honored.
Okay, thank you. And to my audience, thanks for being with us today.